Hello, and welcome to Sounding Board. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith, and today we are joined by Chicago legends. Olivia Lilly and Jeanette Gomez.
Or Gomes, right?
Gomes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. I want to start over because I want to get your name right.
No, that was so good, though.
Yeah, all right, no, fine.
It's okay.
Gomes.
It's okay.
Gomes.
Well, thank you both for being here.
But I also kind of like that Jeanette has, like, maybe an Adams family, like,
kind of... Adams family connection, my creepy dark side.
I put upon you just, like, a general creepiness. And, you know, I think that's fine.
Yeah, well, you guys don't know, I'm just, like, in bed cuddling my corn stuffed animals.
Oh, my God.
Well, it is great. So I know that we've been posting about having, like, folks from different spaces come and guest, and it's been really cool. This is their second time doing a sounding board with guests, which we're really excited about. And so if there are folks that have been like, oh, I want to come on, I'm still going to reach back out to more people, but it's just like... It's
yeah, been... we posted in sounding board.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, asking for guests, and we got a lot of people interested, and so, like, we're gonna work our way through that list, mm-hmm. but if you are not among those who commented, reach out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what better time?
Yeah, who cares? Let's just record a bunch of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, any of us have anything better than to be in each other's company?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, the citizens of Chicago are interesting. Everyone that I meet in Chicago is interesting. Mm-hmm.
It's true. No, so, well, and before we hit record, we were chatting about astrology and stuff like that, and we were for a moment kind of like hemming and hawing about, like, oh, like, we... You know, we should probably start blah, blah, blah. And it was just kind of right before we recorded, I said, we should probably just do it because, like, you know, it might suck, but there's nothing we can really do about it. So, and I mean, that's very much the vibe.
I mean, the first interview that we did after, before, what am I saying? Like, on Discord through digital,
yeah.
was Koya Paz. And that was the most, like, ooh. This might be terrible, but, like, also, well, it was high risk, high reward.
Koya, you know what I mean? Koya was super here for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so good. I listened to that interview before I wrote my, before I got interviewed by Jeanette, like, immediately before that, I listened to the Koya Paz interview, and that gave me some fuel for my fire.
Oh, yeah, we are awesome. Jumping around. Let's jump around. Let's fill in the context. So, one of the things that y'all also did with Scappy is y'all wrote kind of an op-ed. That was this honest response to what it is to be in pandemic and in coronavirus and
it, as an artist.
Yeah, and it was mm-hmm. really it was also really well received. I don't know if y'all fully heard about that, but a lot of folks really appreciated where it came from. And yeah, it was around the same time that Olivia and I we were talking about it conceptually as when we were talking about when we were doing the Koya interview.
So yeah,
all right, that's all the context. I don't really know entirely where I was going with that, but I was just like,
yeah. Well, it was interesting when before you asked me to do the, before I got the opportunity to do that the editorial, there were so many like COVID-19 essays coming out from like yeah. theater makers, and there was like a really controversial one where this guy like did it anonymously, and everyone was like mad on the internet. And I was like kind of getting very jaded by like these like pontificating like very like declamatory. I don't even know if that's a word.
Yeah.
Yeah, like these like sort of very white male like bah, this is the facts. And so
this is what your experience is.
Yeah, so when
like,
I was
you know period yes. exclamation
like,
point.
Like all of you are. Stupid for putting out content on the internet right now.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Okay, like, just because we're, like, trying things out doesn't mean, like, nothing is worth any. Like, get over yourself.
I'm so tired of people that feel like they need to have an opinion to be an important person.
Yeah, know? Like, they have to have, like, an infallible opinion.
It's like, oh, man. I don't get it. It's like, obviously we're all going through a rough time. Like, I don't think that anyone has to be right or wrong, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah, and also getting out there and, like speaking for, like, the for society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that
it's ridiculous. Yeah,
yeah, you're always in a bad place if you think, if you go into a conversation thinking, like, I can speak for more than anyone but besides myself, mm-hmm. like, experience. Mm-hmm. Like, unless mm-hmm. you, yeah. unless you live with that person, unless you are, like, on the ground, like, and you are part of that experience, like, I feel like there is a sacredness in allowing somebody, and that was kind of the you know, this sort of genesis idea behind, like, Olivia and I, like, talking, like, and doing the piece together, mm-hmm. was because, you know, the piece itself is, like, only a section of the larger conversation that we had, which was about a half hour long.
And, yes, it was.
And it came out of us just, you know, a lot of what we have been doing together since quarantine happened was just having long phone conversations with each other on art and just, like, what we were doing that day. And, like, it's something that we, I mean, have always done, but I feel like, you know, because we're both in this isolated place, it's taken on, like, a different tone, because we're just, like, very entrenched in our own personal experiences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a way for us to come together and really talk about, you know, how we were feeling and how we were experiencing not only what was happening on a personal level, but how we were seeing things play out around us in a way that wasn't, like, you do bad thing, I'm going to, like, you know, like, chastise you. It's just like, oh, like, I'm just, like, observing. Mm-hmm. Like, I, you know, I'm just kind of, like, I'm watching the news. I am listening to my neighbors. I am, you know, kind of watching how everything is playing out. And I think that observing without judgment first is, you know, the most important thing, especially in a circumstance like we're in right now, because information and how information is being processed right now is so precarious.
Yeah.
Well, and what I find so interesting is that, so I consume a lot of YouTube content. I watch a lot of YouTube videos.
I love YouTube.
Oh yeah. That's, you know, the soundtrack of my day. And a lot of videos, like a lot of, you know, larger channels and a lot of more consistent creators will pre-record stuff. And the need for them to be like, for on every single video that was pre-recorded,
right,
like for there to be a huge disclaimer, like, we recorded this before social distancing was required, like, you know, please know that at this point everyone involved in this shoot is currently social distancing. And it's like I think that we should just be giving people the benefit of the doubt. Like, well, you know, if people, like, it's pretty evident that at this point, if people aren't social distancing, like, people with common sense are social distancing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. the fact mm-hmm. that, like, if channels aren't, you know, posting these, like, for example, I watched this, this channel asked three restaurant worker or three restaurant owners in New York who are doing different approaches of, like, still owning a restaurant during this time. Mm-hmm. They asked them to all vlog one day of, like, how their business has changed. And they showed this one restaurant owner walking down the street talking about all the precautions that he's taking, all the steps that he's taking to make sure that he's protecting his employees, blah, blah, blah. But he's walking down the street not wearing a mask. And there was a disclaimer being like, this was before everyone was recommended to start wearing masks.
Because right. It's changed so much week to week.
And
it's,
and I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, but he's like, yeah, okay, he's not wearing a mask. But, like, literally, this is like a 2-minute video of him talking about all the great things he's doing for his employees, mm-hmm. and it's like.
And the reason they had to put those disclaimers up is because, you know, people in the comments are just like,
are just gonna eviscerate him, be like, I can't believe that guy's not wearing a mask.
It's exactly like what you were saying before, of just like folks talking to each other in such bad faith.
Oh yeah,
there's just so much bad faith, like people assuming the worst of other people. It's really, well,
and I think we all need to be a little bit more compassionate about the whole mask situation, because like I had to really pull out some like major sewing skills that I haven't used since like the seventh grade in order to like start making masks for my family and I for like the future coming up, because like, you know, I know that most people are aware that like the mask shortage, like especially for hospital workers, like you know, and the way that especially when everything first started happening, how everyone was hoarding supplies and like the whole toilet paper situation and everything, and like, you know, the people who suffer the most are the people who have who already at the baseline had the least access to supplies to begin with. So, you know, I was lucky because I had some, you know, I had some pillowcases that were high enough thread count that I could like make some masks out of them. But, you know, even up until that, like, you know, thinking about like people's access to supplies, and I know like a lot of people have started like making masks at home and donating them, but yeah, we're only getting to the point where people have like masks that they can wear to the grocery store, but yeah, like I think that, you know, sometimes like YouTube comments can be a little brutal and not recognizing that like not everyone has like lots of disposable income to like buy masks online from retailers.
Something that's kind of scary is so my partner, he had applied for unemployment last week, and he got a card in the mail today that I think is supposed to be, we are unsure if it's supposed to be his IDES card or if it's literally a scam IDES card.
Is it key to benefits?
Yeah, what is okay, that?
So let me, I this is actually a really good sounding board thing to do probably. If you are a person applying for unemployment, here's what I know as a person that has applied for unemployment. You first off have to apply on the IDES website, and you apply for unemployment, and then you get approved for it. And then once you get approved for it, you also then have to go back and certify every week. And you do that on specific days of the week. So, for example, mine's Thursday and Friday.
And the card that you get, the legitimate one, is from Key to Benefits. Yeah, that is the real one.
K-E-Y-2-B-E-N-E-F-I-T-S.
So and that's the real one?
That's the real one. It's not a scam. That's the real one.
But it looks like a scam. So keep that in mind. And don't, but also don't, I'm sure that there is some like Key 3 benefits or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Card 4 benefits or whatever.
Because he hasn't heard anything from IDES. He just got the card in the mail.
That happened to me too. So what, that exact thing happened to me. And then I ended up.
That means that he's approved.
Yeah. And then he'll probably get an email the next few days reminding to certify, but depending on his last name, I would check IDES even tonight, because he might be able to certify tonight for the payout on Tuesday.
Tonight starting at 3 a.m.
No, I mean, it might be Wednesday.
Like, oh, who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the last names. Like, I don't know which number, which letters are which date. But
Gotcha. That's good to know. Thank you. I was a little worried.
No, it's a mess. And I've heard too, I'm not 100% sure on this, I've heard too that if you don't certify 1 week, but then you certify the week after, that you still get both weeks, but I don't know for sure.
Mm.
Yeah, our friend Tom, he like, his certification kept getting like delayed and delayed and delayed, but then he just got paid on Monday and was, he just got paid on Monday and got back week, like paid from all the sweet weeks.
I got they interviewed me on Monday because I tend to quit jobs. So they were like asking me about why I quit my last employer, and then they're gonna go and talk to my last employer to make sure it like makes like it lines up with why I told them.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
which is it's really interesting. But it was annoying because took them so long to like get back to me in terms of like, oh, we need you to interview. I was like, okay. I applied, because I applied like March, like probably like March 25th or something.
Mm. Oh God.
And I haven't gotten any money from unemployment.
Yeah. Mm. That's like around the time I applied too.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, but I have, like, yeah, because I've jobs, is, like, then they, like, because, yeah.
April,
like,
or March?
It's April.
It's April.
Yeah, well, it's going to be...
Sorry, I'm so fucking wrong.
It's going to be
May
in, like, a couple days.
Daniel, we got back from vacation March 18th, and Daniel's like, yeah. I applied on, like, the 25th. You applied on, like, so you applied on, like, April 16th, you idiots.
Quarantine brain be like. Well, one thing I wanted to say is that...
Does anyone know what day it is?
Today?
Like, it's March 20th. It's April 29th.
Oh, wait, no, it's
April
29th. Exactly! Nobody knows!
My brain thought it was March 29th.
I keep thinking it's March. That's why. Anyway, so what I wanted to say too was one of the things that y'all are really speaking to is something that came through in the piece and also came through to kind of like bring back to earlier parts of this conversation with our interview with Koya, which is this idea of what it means to be theater makers in Chicago and what it means to be like working class artists and what it means to have to be like for people who are already marginalized that are entering this time of you know, stress and you know, organizing outside of
universal disenfranchisement. Like, this is just...
Yeah.
This is, like, the great equalizer and also just, like, the ultimate enemy of equity. Like, everyone has been dealt the same hand, and so in that case, it's equal. But well, in terms of where people started,
it's fucked over people that had
like,
it worse.
So it's the difference between equality and equity. Like everyone has been given, like, everyone has to stay home, and everyone has, you know, has limited access to what they had before. And that's universal.
Yeah.
But what people had before and how staying at home impacts them is entirely different.
But even then, it's like a lot of people aren't even getting stipends because, like, millions of people aren't getting stipends because their partner isn't... citizens.
Yeah.
There are citizens that didn't get stimulus because their partner wasn't a citizen.
Yeah,
because they're married to an immigrant, which... So screwed up. That's like so horrible.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, my friend Christina, is an immigrant, and her husband couldn't get the stimulus.
I did not know that, and that is so fucked up.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things like that, and then obviously too, like unemployment is the same way.
Like all the microaggression that is buried under all of this bureaucratic bullshit in this situation is just fucking insane.
Yeah, I want to throw a quick disclaimer. There are just noises happening, and there are a lot of noises on our end too, because I keep forgetting that the desktop audio is what's running, and so I've like changed the volume, and there's been like a pring. And I want to apologize to listeners and appreciate you putting up with just like desktop noises and different like buzzes and stuff.
Buzzings. There's many buzzes in our conversation, but it's okay.
That's okay.
We're like little bees.
We're doing.
Yeah, you know,
we're doing our best.
Something else that's worth mentioning is like there is a huge like inequality in terms of like so for example in theater specifically, and this applies to other art forms as well, like there's different people that are in like equity, Actors Equity or like SAG or like different unions, and like equity is not allowing like a lot of theaters to screen their past performances because they have to, it requires the theaters to pay people 2 weeks salary in order to do that. And a lot of these mid-sized theaters, like pretty huge theaters, can't afford that without that amount of revenue coming in. So it's like put a stop to like a lot of that content going out. And then there will be a lot of like very like sort of a lot of like very angry Facebook posts like defending like we can't just like make actors work for free and like just like they're out of jobs for like, and it's really interesting because like there's a lot of artists, like a lot of theater artists who like do make their living like going gig to gig. And then there's all like all of us in Chicago who are like non-equity and like have day jobs and have lost income in other ways. Mm-hmm. And it is interesting, like the kind of battle cry or like the way people react and how like they, I'd say like the people who are, I mean, a lot of people who are like people who make their living off of primarily theater are kind of like acting a little bit more like, oh, I'm so like they're feeling really sorry for themselves really loudly rather than like kind of seeing what's around them, like, and other people kind of suffering. And like, it kind of makes me roll my eyes. Like, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, and some of them are posting things like, oh, I remember what it's like to, like, write a play that I really want to write again. Like, because my TV job is, like, not, like, it feels very privileged, like, this, some of these posts of people who are, like, really sad because they're not making their TV money right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to, like, empathize with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, you know, I feel like all of us are definitely feeling like the monetary hit, like the most hard, definitely within like the working class communities, because like thinking about like where we're all starting from beginning this and like how, you know, just I feel like for a lot of people in general, like, I mean, most people, they suggest that you should try and have like at least 2 months or 3 months worth of savings to like for like rent and stuff, but like you like we like are you serious? Like, I mean, like, who has that? Like,
yeah, what's savings? Like,
what's savings? Like, yeah. You know,
I have $150 in my savings account now, and I feel like fucking Bill Gates. I'm like really, I feel so secure with that cool 150, but like, ugh, God.
Yeah,
so I mean, I at least like as an artist, it's like, how can I work a day job like in a way where like I'm making enough where I can live, but also I'm working enough so that I have most of the rest of my time to make art. So like, I am only gonna try and make enough to survive. Like, I don't necessarily like I personally don't have any aspirations for kids. Or, like, a mortgage or, like, a family. So my goals are oriented differently.
Yeah.
Well, and just thinking about how, you know, I feel like this brings up an inherent cruelty in, like, the entire thing where it's just, like, our generation just, like, has learned that, like, it's going to be so much harder for us to, like, have access to all of these things. You know,
yeah.
Like, and realistically, like, you know, one thing I want to say about is just like a lot of reports have been talking about how the likelihood of the virus coming back in the fall. And I am very inclined to believe that's true. And, you know, so basically, you know, that my mentality of like how I'm going to have to spend like the rest of this year is like, how can I pull together my resources to make sure that, like, you know, the inevitable quarantine part two, I'll be able to, like, you know, get through that, you know, like, how can I set up my resources? And, like, you know, I'm a person who lives alone. So, you know, that's added another layer of, like, you know, just stress and anxiety because, like, you know, I have like, you know, people that I can talk to and people I can go to for support if I really need it. But I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm just like a ship out at sea. So, you know, I think that, you know, and thinking about how it's just like, you know, you should consider yourself lucky if like your life hasn't stopped completely with all of this, that you can still work and like,
yeah,
and do stuff, you know, like, I think that, you know, we have to recognize, like, where our blessings lie, because, you know, there's so many projects and stuff that, like, you know, have been stopped temporarily or may stop altogether because, like, you know, there just isn't the infrastructure to be able to, you know, support full productions without people being able to come together. And like, it's devastating, you know. Yeah. Like, this is really like a huge change for all of us. And like, I think we're only just starting to really sink into the feeling of grief. Like, I definitely have been going through just like huge waves of like, of just feeling so much grief, you know.
Yeah.
Just for various various aspects of like my own experience. Just like the grief of not being able to hug Olivia is like devastating, or like not being able to like hug my parents, and like only being able to like talk to them on the phone. It's like, you know, like the human impact is like is even more like, that's like the money is hard, and it's fucking devastating, but like the human impact of just like not being able to like hug your mom, like without like the overwhelming like feeling of guilt that like you could be potentially hurting someone that you love more than anything, like that. Right. Like there's gonna be, I'm gonna have so much trauma from this. Like I remember when all of this started, I was just like, yeah, like the devastating thing is just like, none of us are going to feel the same way about just even touching one another after this.
Yeah, you know? I personally cannot wait to be like, because I've been going to like a fair amount of Zoom parties, but I cannot wait to be at a real party with people. But I also feel like something that is something that's happened for the better is like any sort of bullshit or beef I had with anybody has like kind of melted away, and like now I'm just like grateful to see everyone.
Yeah. You know, I feel like I've had a lot of that too.
Like I just feel more like curious about everyone, and like even me, just like I've built, like, especially because Zoom is so awkward, like, you kind of have to, like, figure out ways to, like, just get comfortable really quickly, and it's almost like teaching us new survival skills.
Yeah.
Zoom. Yeah, I have only used Zoom once in all of this. I've been really clinging to Discord.
Wow.
Yeah, I what I like about Discord compared to, there are a lot of things that I really like about Discord, but I think when I'm thinking about just a direct comparison between the two, I don't like the obligation of video, you know? I mean, obviously, there is something that you get from video that you're missing in a time of quarantine, like being able to actually see another human face.
Right.
But I also, you know, coming out of quarantine, like, I don't love the idea that digital interaction has to be such that, because I
think that the expectation that everyone is camera ready right now, like, I think that voice is such a more accessible, unless of course you're hard of hearing, but I mean, I mean like emotionally accessible, like if you're really not feeling, like if you're just like having the day where it's like day six of not showering, like same pants as 4 days ago, like really, but you still want a connection with someone, like, you know.
Yeah, any expectation of an immediacy to beyond video with someone is almost Orwellian to me. That's, I think, what it is. Go ahead.
I feel like, you know, this is why a majority of my phone conversations have been on the phone. I've had a few people come to me for readings during all of this, and like even on Zoom, I'll usually just like I'll just do audio because it's just easier for my apartment, because I get absolutely no reception 90% of the time in my apartment, which has been a struggle in and of itself. I was saying before we started recording that I had to sign up for Wi-Fi this week because, you know, in order to work from home, it's essential. And I had been like going to the library and really using the library as a resource for a long time for like books and like to use the internet and stuff like that. But it's gotten to the point where that's just impossible. So like, you know, have to go back to paying $40 a month to pay for internet again. But yeah, it's, you know, I think that it's, you know, and it's, that's been like another layer, because I've always felt really comfortable just like talking with people on the phone. But I think that being able to see someone's face, especially like, you know, as a person who is alone and like doesn't have it's gotten to the point where like, you know, I have to stop myself from like getting really emotional at the sound of people's voices. Like, you know, like I, like, you know, like there was a thing where like my mom, like my, like, because it was like, for Easter, like my family is Catholic, and they had a Stations of the Cross at their church. And like, you know, when I was growing up, I went to church with all of them, and I got onto the Zoom call for the Stations of the Cross, and I turned off my audio and I turned off my video, and I just like wept for an hour.
Oh yeah, you told me about this.
Because I heard the sound of their voices, and I felt like I was hallucinating. Like it was such a like powerful experience, because it was like, you know, I hadn't heard any of these voices in like years, right? You know, I hadn't seen any of them in a long time, and it was such a like powerful experience, even just to like hear the sound of their voices. And like, that's kind of like a really like personally symbolic experience of like my own experience of quarantine, where it's just like there's this like sensitization to like even like mundane experiences that like I would probably take for granted at any other point, like, you know, just like this sensation of hearing another person's voice in a room has been like I got new neighbors recently, and like I occasionally will hear them, and like the sound of them being there is just like so startling, because I'm just like, you know, because I recognize in the moment like that, you know, this experience is really going to change a lot about like how I interact with other people and like how sensitive I am to it. Like, I'm gonna have to like disclaimer all of my relationships from now on, be like, I might cry when I hear your voice. I might cry at the sound of your voice. I don't want you to feel bad about it. I just I'm warning you ahead of time. I just might weep, you know.
Oh my God.
So that, I mean, and that's real. I mean, like, especially, you know, I feel like all of this has been triggering so much anxiety, especially about like my parents and grandparents. And, you know, I mean, I've always been a person who's been like supernaturally loyal to people that I love, but like, anything that like is a sort of circumstance where I'm like, oh my God, like I could unintentionally kill someone that I love more than anything, you know, just by breathing, you know, like how am I going to like reason with my anxiety after this about that, you know? And the way that I've been trying to work through that in the moment is just like reminding myself that like I'm doing everything that I can to make sure that like that doesn't happen. And there's so much that's outside of our control, you know, like there's so many elements of fate that are so outside of our control, and like understanding that like you doing what you can to protect yourself and the people that you love in the moment is sometimes like the most that you can do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, do we... Here, wait, Daniel, can you click the screen? I just don't know how much... Great. Well, do we want to end with maybe some, like, talk of astrology?
Oh, yeah.
I think that ending on a... potentially inspirational note, but potentially catastrophic note would be appropriate.
Yeah? Oh, also Jeanette has a podcast called Saggy Moons.
We haven't done an episode in so long.
But it's out there.
I did not realize that. That's with Kelsey, right?
Yeah. Because Kelsey and I do Saggy Moons together. Yeah, but she and I, we were doing that a lot more last year. And we've tried to get together and do recordings. But, you know, especially now that all of this has happened, it's just kind of like it's been delayed indefinitely. Mm. But that was something that we worked on a lot last year. So it exists. It's all the episodes we recorded last year are still up. But
it's so good.
Yeah. So good. Are you a Sag Sun, Jeanette?
No, I'm a Sagittarius Moon. So got I'm it. A Libra Sun, a Sagittarius mm-hmm. Moon, and a Pisces Rising.
Well, no, I Maureen just made a face at me like, duh. I mean, I knew that. I knew the premise of the show.
Saggy Moon. Saggy Moon. It's called Saggy Moon.
My dude.
As a person with a Sag Sun, I glom on to, like, whenever I realize that anyone else has a Sagittarius placement, I'm like, oh, this person is a person I know is, like, I understand it. But then I realize now that that's because I just knew that you both were co-hosts of that show.
Yeah, and I remember, you know, like, when we were, I remember telling me that she had interviewed with you guys, like, and that, like, last year at some point, right? Because you guys were talking about InnerSense stuff.
Yes.
Yes. So I do remember that happening, and she told me about it when it happened. And, yeah, like, you know, and it's so funny because, like she and I and a whole bunch of our other astrology friends, we started a book club that we're going to be doing starting in May based off the book Cosmos and Psyche, which is basically like a text that really goes into the archetypical sort of mundane astrology of what we're experiencing in the moment. Because like, I can tell you straight off, like from an astrological perspective, like I've been studying astrology since I was like about like 13, 14 years old. Like I've been like, you know, I've definitely been reading and observing for a long time. And I remember just recognizing when I was really, like, even when I first started studying astrology, that older astrologers have been talking about 2020 since at least the 80s. Mm. Like they have pinpointed this year, because the thing that is happening astrologically right now is there are, like, at least three major patterns that are converging all at once. So, you know, it's talking about cycles, right? So in order to understand, like, what is really happening, you have to understand cycles and how there's three major cycles that are renewing themselves this year, and they're all really intense. Mm. So, you know, I think any astrologer who studied mundane astrology and the cycles within society saw this year and was like, shit's gonna go down, and now we're here. And like, I knew that this was going to be a battleground year as soon as, like, you know, January 3rd hit, and like I was on Twitter and like World War 3 was trending. And mm-hmm. you know, it's definitely that's, and I feel like one thing that I can, like, that I definitely do every day, and I've definitely been encouraging people to do, is just like writing down, like, your experience of, like, what's happening every day during all of this, because this will be, these are historic times. Like, these are times that, like, people are going to ask about us in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like one thing I wrote in my notebook, and one thing that I also feel like is very appropriate for, like, the sort of battle we're going to be going into, like, continuing on into later on this year, is, like, I feel like, you know, Olivia and I were talking about boxing a lot the last week. And the thing that I wrote in my notebook was that it's like a boxing match, but what we've been given as weapons are each other's most vulnerable weaknesses.
Mm.
Like, so just thinking about how, you know, how, like, going into this, it's just like, and knowing that if you hit someone with their most vulnerable weakness, they are entitled to hit you back. And I feel like, do you really want to know what your most vulnerable weakness is right now? Like, because I think that that's, like, what we're playing with. So, like, you, like, we all have to really decide how we want to play the game. Like, do we want this to be a boxing match, or do we want this to be a cage match to the death? Mm. So, you know, that, I feel like, you know, even, like, I feel like it's just, like, even, like, politicians and people who are higher up in power who are normally, like, just throwing their weight around are recognizing that this is, like, what they're playing with right now. And I think that, like, you know, I'm really hoping that this experience is going to inform the rest of the year, because, you know, I really feel like there's larger battles to be ahead. Like, we have, like, an election and stuff coming up. So, you know, there's just, like, it's, like, I was telling my dad, I'm like, we're all just lucky if we make it out of this year alive. Like, that's really, like, my only hope right now. Mm-hmm. And genuinely. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's a bummer. You know, like, there's no way of, like, but also, like, you have to speak the truth.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like, and I think, I think everyone is realizing kind of, like, what, every, like, all the astrologers have been like talking about, where it's like, I think even people who have been studying the patterns of what have been happening are, like, kind of blown away by the actual manifestation of it. Mm. Like, I know that I'm like, I am constantly perplexed. That's why I like keep an eye on, like, you know, how things develop on a regular basis, because, like, part of the struggle is just how difficult it is to know truth from fiction, you know? Yeah. Like being able to really, like, assimilate that information, it's like that's so difficult right now. Like, I feel like I have a very finely tuned intuition into, like, when people are telling me the truth or not. And I feel like, you know, I knew when all the stuff with coronavirus started coming out, I could recognize immediately that, you know, like, news media lies, and, like, also just that, like, different governments are going to report things differently, you mm-hmm. know, like, how these things are going to be reported to the worldwide media is really dependent on the country. Mm-hmm. And I think because, information is being withheld in kind of this, like, media war that we're having right now, it's really hard to be able to gauge, like, what's actually happening, which, like, puts layers of confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think it's just, it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming to, like, look at the world and what's happening and trying to, like, parse, like, what's actually happening outside of your room right now. Like, mm-hmm. it's been a lot, you know, kind of taking it baby steps is sometimes really helpful.
Yeah, it's hard. People keep saying things like we won't all be back to normal going to theater again to 2022, and, like, my brain just goes, does not compute. Like, I don't really know how to react. When people say things sometimes, I'm just like, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing, right? We just have no idea. You know, one of the things that you were talking about earlier too, Jeanette, was just the fact that we might see things, like, get better and then next fall get worse again. You know, like, mm-hmm. it may very well be that now this social distancing and quarantine may just be a part of the human condition, you know, and, like, whatever that means, like, figuring out how to adjust to it or changing to it or whatever. I mean, it could very well be the opposite, you know, who knows, like, next month we could, like, have a cure and everything goes back to normal. But we really, at this point, like, exactly like you said, like, we have to take it day by day, because there's just no, you know, knowing what the other side is going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, like, realistically, there's definitely not going, it's, things aren't going to truly go back to normal until there's some kind of vaccine. Like, I mean, like, and, you know, I've been thinking a lot about, like, there have been so many reports of, like, how people who had it, like, retested positive for it again. So, you know, knowing that about, you know, like, there is a potential for, like, the disease to come back. And, like, and the thing that's hardest about this is that, like, you know, just feeling like right now, until we have, like, a vaccine or something, or there's enough herd immunity that, like, people can get through it. It's, like, until we get to the point where, like, we know that, like, at least 70% of the population has some form of antibody protection, like, going back to normal the way that things were before could be potentially devastating. Like, it could be, you know, it could be a second wave much sooner that's, like, you know, so much worse than, you know, because, like, we were able to recognize when it was starting and, like, do what we could. But I think hopefully because we have this experience under our belt, it won't be, you know, it won't be as hard for us to, like, be able to go in and be like, okay, well, I know what I need to do and I know what needs to get done in order to, like, you know, that's why, you know, I've been making, like, more masks and stuff at home for my family and my loved ones, like, for the future, you know, because, like, we can't keep using, like, one or single use or only a couple use, like masks. We have to be able to have, like, reusable masks and, like, you know, there's definitely going to be a lot of, like, systemic changes to the way that we, like, function out in the world, even if we are able to go back.
Yeah.
And, the hard part is that, you know, I think people get so stir crazy in all of this and they're like, oh, well, we just go back to normal. It'll be fine. And it's just like, no. Yeah. you gotta step back and realize that, like, if you take that kind of attitude, like, you know, it's like a caution. It's like you have to take cautionary steps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
And by being able to do that, it's like that's how we are able to get back to normal quicker.
Yeah.
But yeah, until there's some way of being able to confirm some kind of immunity, like it's impossible to think that we can go back to normal.
Yeah. One thing that I'm thinking about a lot right now is, like, in this moment, is just, like, in the sense of trying to find a silver lining, I guess, or trying to figure out. I think that what is true is that especially, like, artists in Chicago are very adjustable.
Resourceful.
Yeah.
We're very resourceful.
I think that's why that so many folks, their initial, like, intuition was, I need to record video of myself performing something. And I think, I guess that's the thing for me is, you know, I think it's both true that it's a really nice intention, but, like, the execution of it can be really, like, ham-fisted, I guess, or tasteless, maybe, of it just being, like, not what the moment needs. But I also believe that there is a way that we can figure out what, and obviously it's never going to be a complete perfect replacement for live theater or live performance or live any kind of media consumption. But I think that there is a way.
Yeah.
I think that there is a way to, like, work at scratching some itches that could be tools for creative enterprise is probably the wrong word, but you know what I mean, like, creative
entity.
Yeah, creative execution in a part of the human condition that is this quarantine isolated state. Like, I think that there are ways to, you know, one of the things we were talking about, not to keep referencing the Koya Paz interview, but one of the things we were talking about was how for your birthday, Mo, when folks went out, came, we live in a basement apartment, for those that don't know, and folks drew on our sidewalk right outside the window being like, happy birthday, Maureen. And they put signs up. And so, and people came like every 15 minutes with,
that's so sweet.
With whiskey and drinks and stuff.
Yeah,
and,
like people took shifts standing at my window and right. We would just like kind of yell at each other through my closed window. And, mm-hmm. And then like for 2 days after that, because like, you know, they had written in chalk. Yeah. And so, and they like the art on the sidewalk was there. And so like strangers were knocking on the window being like, happy birthday, Maureen, like happy 30th birthday. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was just like,
and Koya was talking about neighborhood performance too, where she was talking about there are folks that are just going door to door to some extent, like singing a thing or performing a thing. And I think that there is some mix with that and with trying to tackle this digital performance thing that I think that, I don't know, I find hope in that, you know? I mean, again, I also really get a weird taste in my mouth when something is so obviously just, I'm gonna, and that's, I think there are people probably that are just reading monologues that do a great job with it, but I think that it can just be like, you're just performing like your audition repertoire, like you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, my theater has some even have in the works. Like I don't want to give away too much, but we are trying to build something online that will connect, basically become an artist, like almost like a speed date, but with a lot of like care in terms of like who's being paired. So I'm really excited.
That's super cool.
Who's a playwright.
Oh wait, we lost the name there.
Oh, my his name's Anello.
Anello.
We lost the last name.
Wait, so we heard Anello. What's the last name?
Fontano. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's a playwright. He's a Chicago playwright, but he spent the last 3 years in New Mexico getting his master's in playwriting. And he's a lovely soul. And this sort of, well, it was like his brainchild, but then after seeing how it went the first time, I was like, because he had the idea and I was participating. And then after we did it, I was so
I like almost like,
I don't want to ruin really hard before it gets released.
So it definitely also like cut in and out there for a second.
I feel like Olivia's part as she was talking about it kind of cut in and out. But
I'm sorry.
You're talking about the
don't monologues. Ruin it. Stop.
I think that if folks want to take and piece apart the few words that came through and figure out, I think that if you're both trying to keep things a surprise, but also kind of tease, weirdly, the way that your voice cut in and out, like, really worked to that end.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, prop theater's doing something with someone who got their master's in New Mexico. That's all I got. I wonder what it is.
Okay, it is a festival.
It's a festival. Okay, great.
Great.
On the internet.
Great.
Awesome.
There we go.
Amazing.
There we go.
That's awesome. Like the best digital plug I've ever. I am so happy with that conception.
Oh my god.
I feel like my philosophy on, like, you know, because I feel like on Instagram and stuff, I've posted a couple videos of, like, you know, I posted some poems and, like, some short bits of videos. And, like, my philosophy on, you know, kind of art on the internet during this time is everything that I've posted, it's been because somebody asked me to do it. They were like, it would make me feel really good if you posted this thing right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I've had, like, friends come to me and be like, you know, I would really love to hear, like, your poem right now. Or I would really love to just, like, listen to something that reminds me of you. And, you know, and I feel like I feel like that's always been my impulse when it comes to just any form of creation. I'm like, I usually step up to the plate, but I feel like there's a thing with me where I like to be asked. You know, like, I want to know that, like, my presence being requested, Because, like, if I know that, like, I'm being asked to be there, then, like, I know that I'm not just, like, I'm not just, like, putting that thing out there because it's something that I want to do. I'm doing it as a way of connecting with the other people that I love. You know? And I feel like the intention of that is different.
It has to be something where I for me, like, art doesn't exist in a vacuum. It has to be in context of your audience. And I think that all great art is like, it is a communication between the artist and the audience. And I think that that is, like, such an interesting thought coming into, like, what digital art making looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Man, it's almost like you guys just stepped inside of my dream, because, like, all of the dreams that I've been having since quarantine started, because I always have, like, musician dreams, right? Mm. And, but the dreams are really, like, I've been noticing, like, symbolically, they really represent a lot about, like, the symbiotic relationship between audience and artist, mm-hmm. you know, and how, especially mm-hmm. with the performative art, like,
yeah,
you really have, like, your the relationship that you have with your audience is such a personal one mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that maybe the understanding of that has gotten lost over time, you know, like how, like that. And I feel like that's kind of thing that I've been going into just in my own journaling and in my own experiences, like what is, as artists, like, what is our relationship to our audience, but also, like, who are we as an audience member? Like, what kind of needs do we have, and how are we properly communicating those needs with the people who we consume art from, you know? Like, how can we make that into a balanced and mutually beneficial symbiotic relationship where, like, we can give and we are being given to?
Yeah.
Well, I think we should wrap up. So, mm-hmm. the last thing we should do is, like, do y'all have anything you want to plug?
Olivia always has something to plug. I'm just, like, I'm deep into, like, inner psychic space right now, so, like, I don't have any.
That's fair.
And I already took the opportunity thing, so I won't plug anything else.
Nice. Well, I would love to actually
got ahead of it. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Okay. Oh, you're fine.
No, you're great. The thing I definitely want to plug is the most recent article on Scapi. I don't know if by time of release if this will still be the most recent article, but I made Kaj write a how-to on stick and poke tattoos, which has already kind of got mixed responses, but I love it. I personally have 2 stick and poke tattoos.
Wait, who? What's the mixed?
Someone on Facebook commented just like, "Oh, I'm a tattoo artist, and this is really bad advice." And I'm like, I think that this is a great sounding board is a great time for me to vent this piece of thing that I have to say, which is that I think it is both true that you are taking a risk when you do a stick and poke tattoo, but it is worth doing. And you should, and also you can support tattoo artists and have stick and poke tattoos, you know. But the reality of the situation is, it'd be very difficult, if not impossible. I don't think the tattoo artists are, like, booking right now.
No.
And who knows when the next time our tattoo artists would be booking? So, like, an exploration that someone's being curious about stick and poke tattoos and doing it responsibly and making sure they get, like, hydrogen peroxide and, like, and sanitize and, like, this, that, and the other. Like, people's bodies are people's bodies, and, like, people should be allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. Like, I get that you're a tattoo artist, and I do see that side of it. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shit on tattoo artists or anything like that, but I also think it's, like, again, like, talking about bad faith, I feel like it's such bad faith to just be like, oh, all stick and poke tattoos are evil, and if you get a stick and poke tattoo, you are
an idiot
and like disparaging to tattoo artists, like professional tattoo artists. Like,
no. I mean, that's like saying that, like, if somebody likes to doodle, then they can't be, like, it's like that they're offending, you know, fine artists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, what a person does with their body is what they do with their body. But then, like, you know, I think that being able to give good advice, or, like, at least, you know, steer people in the direction of at least being, like, safe. yeah. for that. I don't see any issue with that. I feel like that's a.
Oh man, I feel bad for your tattoo.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel bad for them too right now. I mean, it's really, you know, I mean, like, honestly, like, there isn't an artist out there that is truly suffering right yeah. now. Like, I feel like, you know, we're all getting hit in one direction or another, you know, like, they're, like, I mean, I know that a lot of my musician friends are just like, oh, they're just taking the hit so hard because, like, you know, the ones that had tours and stuff set up.
Yeah. Yeah. Was anyone else, like, so in 2007, was anyone else in that Facebook group, I picked a major I'd like so I will live in a box?
No, but that sounds no, really
I
good.
Wasn't in that. That sounds like a good experience, though.
Yeah, there was a huge, like, it was either, I think, like, yeah, it was something I liked, therefore I'm going to live in a box, and it was like, yeah, and it was, there were a lot of people in it, and, like, it was like a
that
mood.
That seems very all lit. That seems like very, like, proto all lit. I
mean, like, yeah, it's like 2006, 2007 on Facebook.
Oh my God. And I'm really pushing close because we have our next interview in a few minutes, but I also really want to mention this Facebook group that I also just learned about, which is called, I don't have my phone with me, but it's like where we all pretend to be ants in an ant colony.
What?
It has like 1.6 million members, and it is literally just like people posting pictures of like honey being like, here is honey, comment slurp below so we all slurp for the queen. And it's just like such a, I don't know what, it scratched some kind of weird itch of just like, this is so funny to me. Of just, because then all, it's like hundreds of comments of just people being like, slurp. We must lift this treat to bring back to the colony. And then people just commenting, lift. it's just such a, only in 2020 internet, you know?
Yeah, whoa, but that's like that's such sophisticated. My sense of humor. Yeah. It's like that's like such my sense of humor though. Like yeah. Like I love stuff like that. Like very just like, you know, just like pretending to be inanimate objects and like you know, just I love things that just don't make sense. Yeah. Like if the more that it doesn't make sense, the more I'm probably going to love it.
Like people living on animal Elijah Wood.
People like do meeting up with Elijah Wood on Animal Crossing.
Yeah, there was like a bunch of pictures of people like running into Elijah Wood. He's, like, really good at he was like super good at playing like the game. He was like, he was like, can I have your fruit? Can I have some fruit? Or like, I don't know, people, it was a whole thing. I was like, I don't even play Animal Crossing, but damn.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I could play Animal Crossing right now. That's like my one quarantine regret. I'm going to have so much high esoteric writing when this is all done, and I will just be like, I wish I played Animal Crossing.
there's an amazing play about crossing by playwright Ryan Oliveira. Highly recommend getting your hands on that. But he was like way ahead of the curve. Wrote that play like 2000. He was at Church of the New Play. And
nice.
I learned so much about Animal
Oh my gosh.
Oh, man.
Well, we should definitely thank you both so much for being on the show. We should definitely wrap up.
All right.
Okay.
But thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This was so nice.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
I hope that we'll be able to talk more in the future. This was really lovely. Thank you guys for having us.
Of course.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. I've been Daniel Johansson.
I continue to be Maureen Smith. If you want to keep up with what we are up to, there are so many ways you can do that. The first is to head to our website, scoppymag.com. We post all of our articles and podcasts there. It's a good time. You can also find us on social media. Our Facebook page is Scoppy Magazine. We also have a Facebook group called Sounding Board that we love and adore. It is the home for all things astrology and politics, so check it out. We're also on Instagram and Twitter and Tumblr under Scoppy Mag. Also, you can find the podcast wherever you enjoy listening to it under Scoppy Radio, those places being Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, Google Play, etc.
And if you want to support the work that we do, you can head to scopymag.com/subscribe. That's the most important place for you to head. That's where we, where you can sign up for a subscription to receive every post we make directly to your inbox. You know, the social media feeds aren't super kind to our content. We want to make sure that you get the information that you want first. You can also support us by heading over to our merch store that you can find on the website. Or if you are a business or a local entity that wants to advertise with us, you can reach out to us at scopymag@gmail.com. So, please, give a little, give a lot, and if you can't give, then listen, participate, and share.
Cool. Thanks so much for listening. Go out and make something.
Yep.